The ministry of Jesus focused on the needs of people. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover the difference Jesus Christ can make in our lives all year long.
You might be here this morning with no peace with God. You might be here this morning wrestling with demons of your own. You might be here this morning not even sure if you died, if you'd go to heaven. I've got good news for you. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what haunts you or what you crave for. I'm saying the name of Jesus is more powerful than all of that.
Jesus often avoided the spotlight and instead focused his ministry on the needs of people. In our series, The Ministry of Jesus, we will explore the life of Christ, who he is, and what he taught. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Through the New Testament, those who encountered the ministry of Jesus never left quite the same. In our series today, you'll discover the difference Jesus makes when you engage with him personally and experience his touch in your life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Jesus Heals the Maniac of Gadara.
When people run around piercing and cutting and mutilating themselves, when people are living this kind of a lifestyle, there is a spiritual problem at the root. You can call it sickness, you can call it whatever you want, but there's a spiritual problem at the root of that behavior. You say, well, I just don't like that kind of preaching. Hang on, there's more to come. You say, Pastor Chappell, you're a narrow preacher, about as narrow as that book right there. Because all 5 points I just gave you were right out of the book. All five of them, right out of the book. So, this is the spiritual diagnosis. Friends, you cannot mask a spiritual issue with a psychological type of a cure. What people need is to repent of their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the world has never seemingly gotten this right. They've never come to a place where they really honestly have it right. And the Bible says that there's a spiritual diagnosis of this man. Listen, he had a real problem because there's a real devil and there's real demons who fight and try to keep people away from Jesus Christ. And I heard about 2 6-year-old boys. They were having a discussion about this, and they were talking about the devil. One boy said, there is no devil. That's not true. It can't be true. And another boy said, there surely is a devil. I guarantee the Bible talks about it. And the second boy said, well, he said, it's just not true. He said, it's just like Santa Claus. You find out later, the devil turns out to be your dad. Now, fellas, I hope there's no dad with that kind of a testimony here this morning. Amen. The fact is, there is a real devil, and this man, as we see the spiritual diagnosis, was under a demonic influence. Now, secondly, I want you to see a demonic dilemma. This man is going to face a dilemma. Any man that is under the influence of Satan, and you say, why do you mention those in the penitentiary? Because I've been in the penitentiaries. I've seen the men in the lockups who have Satan on their forehead tattooed. They didn't put that there as a passing fancy. And the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that there's one thing that those who are under the oppression or possession of the devil can't stand or can't handle, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen it over the years. I've come to the place just speaking about Christ in a service where suddenly a disruption will happen in a service. I've seen it over and over again. Right when someone's about ready to receive Christ, it seems like the devil tries to fight that person from receiving Christ. Look what happens here in verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Now, please understand that this man is confronted with the presence of Jesus, and the Bible says he cries out. And that word means from the depths of his throat, he's crying out to Jesus. And he's saying here in verse 28, as he falls down, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? He's crying out with anger. He falls down as to fall prostrate. And notice what he says here in this verse number 28. He says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Notice this, thou Son of God Most High. Now, Jesus is higher than all the demonic realms. In fact, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me." Would you say that with me this morning? All power is given unto me. Now, there are many realms and ranks of spiritual power. There's many realms of demonic power, many realms of angelic power. Jesus said, "I have all power," and I want you to see this demon-possessed man and the demons within him. They cry out, "Thou Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High." They knew exactly who Jesus was. And notice what they say in verse 28, "I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, there's only one who has power to throw the devil and his demons into hell, and that one is God. And this is a verse that proves to us, again, the deity of Jesus Christ. The devils knew who they were facing. This was the Son of God, the Most High, and they start saying, "Hey, don't throw us into the abyss. Don't throw us into the lake of fire." The devils are confessing with their own mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who has power. And I got to tell you something. There are many college professors who don't understand that. There are many false religions who don't understand this. There are many liberal theologians who don't understand this. But these devils knew exactly who Jesus was. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Most High. And they were shaking in their boots. I mean, this is like a fifth grade boy cheating on a test, and suddenly he sees the teacher standing over him. This is like two criminals trying to rob the jewelry store, and suddenly the SWAT team comes in. This is like two terrorists planning their next bombing when Navy SEAL 6 team shows up for breakfast. These demons recognize that there is one name above every name, and they are recognizing the power in the name of Jesus Christ. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble." Now listen very carefully and don't miss this. You can believe that there is a Jesus. You can believe in the power of Jesus. You can believe that Jesus is on the right hand at the Most High and still be lost and die and go to hell and not be with Jesus for all of eternity. It's one thing to believe intellectually. It's another thing to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, and receive Him as your personal Savior. Don't be so passive that you would think that because someone says, "I believe in God," that they're truly a born-again Christian, because even the devils believed in God, you see. And so we see here the confrontation is certainly real in their life. The presence of the demons is something that we see illustrating to us that yes, there's real demonic power, but also there's a dilemma for the demons when Jesus Christ is present. And that's why when you're dealing with someone that you feel is under some type of an oppression, you ought to pray in Jesus' name. Remember, there's power in the name of Jesus, power in the blood of Jesus, power in the empty tomb of Jesus. His name is the Most High name, and we ought to thank Him for that today. The presence of the demons was real. Notice secondly in your notes, the proclamation of deliverance. We see here this morning that Jesus makes a proclamation. Verse 29, it says, "For He had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters." Now, the command of Jesus was that these spirits should come out. And Jesus questions the demons in verse 30. He says, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Now, in the Roman army, a legion could have been more than 6,000 soldiers. In fact, Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew 26:53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" So Jesus said, "What is your name?" And they said, "We are legion, for we are many." And we see that He had given this command, and He had commanded this question as well of them. But notice the control that Satan had on this man. Look at verse 29 again. "For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." This man was a man that was harassed by the demons. They would come upon him. They would harass him. They would oftentimes catch him and cause his life to be miserable. Sometimes, apparently by the text, he would be caught and he would be bound with fetters. But like a man on methamphetamine, so filled with rage, anger, and strength, he would break those bonds. And I want you to understand, this man was under a powerful, powerful satanic influence. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26 says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's what was going on in this man's life. And that's why Jesus had commanded that the demons leave him. But notice, if you would, not only the presence of the demons, not only the proclamation of deliverance, but notice thirdly, the pleading of the demons. Now remember, I said a moment ago, these demons are like two wannabe terrorists against Team 6 of the Navy SEALs. They know that they're in trouble. And notice what they begin to do. They try to make a deal. And in verse 31 it says, "And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep." Again, they did not want to go into the abyss. Notice this strange request. And they said to Jesus, don't send us there. Matthew 25, 41, "And shall he say, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels." You see, it is Jesus who can cast someone into everlasting fire. And they say, "Don't do that, Jesus, don't do that." And notice their strange request in verse 33. He says, in verse 32, he says, "And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them," speaking of these swine or pigs, "and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently into a steep place into the lake and were choked." Now it's interesting to me that these unclean spirits are saying, "Throw us into those unclean animals." And the fact that this was a side of the Sea of Galilee that was filled with swine is an indication that the swine were there because it was primarily a Gentile region. And so they're saying, "Jesus, please stay us from our execution. Don't throw us into the abyss. You have power as the Most High Son of God to send us to hell. Don't do that now. Give us a stay of our execution and send us into those swine over there, but don't send us right now into hell." What a strange request. But notice an authoritative response. Jesus granted the request of the demons and he sends them into the swine and they run down the hill and into the Sea of Galilee. And so the pleading of the demons was heard. But notice, if you would, fourthly, the peace of the redeemed. I know I'm hurrying a little bit this morning. Everybody with me this morning, say amen. Amen. Because we're coming to the best part of this message. I don't want you to miss it. Now, you remember the guy that we met a minute ago? No clothes, sleeping in the graveyard, running around, cutting himself. How many of you would agree with me? That just ain't normal. All right? Well, let's see what happens when Jesus does what only Jesus can do. Look at verse 35. "Then they went to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind." Hey, how about that? Here's the difference that Jesus Christ makes in someone's life. I want you to recognize Jesus changes lives. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Notice three things this man now has. Number one, he has his sanity. Notice the Bible says in verse number 35, he was in his right mind. George Bernard Shaw once quipped, "If other planets are inhabited, they must be using Earth for their insane asylum." You ever wonder about that? Just spend a day or two on the freeways. You know what I'm saying? But now this man that was completely out of control, completely under the control of demons, now he's in his right mind. The psalmist who had fallen into sin. And by the way, many times when men are in a pattern of sin or immorality, it's sometimes people say, "I think they just lost their mind. What was that? Midlife crisis, whatever." But now the psalmist said in Psalm 51 in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And that's exactly what God can do. He can create a right spirit and a new heart in you. And the Bible tells us that he is now sane. The Bible says in verse 35, he is clothed and he is in his right mind. And by the way, The Bible does teach about modesty, and the Bible does teach about the matter of covering. And you mark it down, the entire pornographic industry is of the devil, my friend. When God gets a hold of you, you're going to be in your right mind, you're going to be clothed, you're going to have something in your heart really to thank God for. And we see here that this man was truly a man whose life had been changed. He had his sanity back. Secondly, notice his salvation. His salvation. Look at verse 36. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. This man had been healed. He was saved from his suffering. This was a man that had been delivered from the demons. Either way, the man is now clearly aligned with Jesus. He is one that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see in a moment his desire to go out and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference that Jesus made, he is clothed. He is in his right mind. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You might be here this morning with no peace with God. You might be here this morning wrestling with demons of your own. You might be here this morning not even sure if you died, if you'd go to heaven. I've got good news for you. If Jesus could save the maniac of Gadara, and if God could give a man filled with 6,000 devils peace in his mind, God can give you peace in your mind today. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what haunts you or what you crave for. I'm saying the name of Jesus is more powerful than all of that. And the Bible tells us this man received his sanity. This man received his salvation. But notice thirdly, his soul winning. Notice what this man does in verse 38. Now, the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now the man gets saved. He gets healed from this problem and delivered from the problem of the demons. And the first thing he does is he besought the Lord that he could follow the Lord. There in verse 38, he says, I just want to follow you and be with you in verse 38. By the way, how many of you think that's a good thing when we first get saved? We want to be with him, and that's right. And it's a wonderful thing to be here in church today and open the Bible. And how many of you enjoyed the choir a minute ago when they sang, Hallelujah to the Lamb and Worthy is the Lamb? Boy, these are wonderful times, but Jesus says to the man, look, it's not just about being right here with me. You need to go tell your friends what I did for you. You need to go out and witness for me. And so he is commissioned in verse 39. Go to your house. That means go to your people. Go to your friends and show how great things God hath done. And notice what the Bible says in verse 39. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done. And Jesus said to this man that was a maniac, he said, look. He said, I'm glad you're delivered and I'm glad you want to be with me. But what I want you to do now that we've had this time is go out to the people you know and tell them what I did to you. When was the last time you told somebody what Jesus has done for you? When was the last time you that are truly saved that you told someone else how to be saved? And listen, as we go out this week, all we're trying to do is tell them God's love is real. God's power is real. It doesn't matter how messed up your life is. God can clean up that mess and he has power to do that. And so this man went out witnessing for the Lord Jesus. How many of you remember the story of the woman at the well? Remember her? She had five husbands, and the guy she was presently with wasn't her husband, right? But she came to faith in Jesus Christ. And when she got saved, the Bible says, and it's in your notes right there, John 4:29, she went all around her town saying, come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Listen, if God can use someone who's been married five times and currently living in adultery, if God can change the life of the maniac of Gadara and they can be a witness, why can't we be witnesses for Jesus Christ? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a Bible college graduate. God will use anybody who wants to witness for the name of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is all powerful. I look across this auditorium right now and see where marriages were broken apart and are now put together, and see some who struggle with drugs and alcohol and are now on the mend, and see where the devil had tried his best to kick somebody down. But you're in church today, clothed and in your right mind. You're not down somewhere at some party, half drugged out, and you're not down at some beach with a bunch of unsaved friends living in immorality. How many of you would agree with me? But for the grace of God, I am what I am. It's by God's grace you're in church this morning. Amen. That's what Jesus Christ can do. He can touch and change a life. Now, what I find amazing as we close this today, I find it very amazing that when God had done this great work, that his friends, instead of saying, "This is awesome," you know what the friends of this man did? They said, "Jesus, why don't you go back to the other side of the lake?" They got nervous. Now look at this. Look at what it says in verse 35, the very last part. When they saw him clothed and in his right mind, what does it say? They were what? Look right here. They were what? I remember years ago, a man that I met, he was apparently a Christian earlier in life, but he got away from the Lord, got on drugs. He was on cocaine. I began to counsel and work with him. He came into my Sunday school class. I called him three times a day for months until he got off the cocaine. I taught him how to put a New Testament in his coat where he used to keep his drugs. And God began to change his life. He got his finances back in order. He got his family back in order. He was coming to church several times a week, growing, smiling, truly happy. You know what happened? His family thought he was nuts. His old friends thought he was nuts. There are people who'd rather see you strung out than going to church on a Wednesday night. I mean, these people saw that he got a little religion, and by the way, he didn't get religion, he got Jesus, that's what he got. And they were afraid. And I'm going to tell you something, this world doesn't really understand, and don't expect them to understand, but if you decide to get on fire for God, I'm just telling you right now, if you decide to show that love really works, don't expect everybody to say, "Hey, that's awesome that you got cleaned up, that's great that you're doing so much better," because most people would rather see you not be a conviction to them. They'd rather see you struggling so they can feel better about themselves. And so they literally said to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you go back over there on the other side over there to Capernaum?" And then notice what else they say in verse 37. It says, "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear." Now, friends, I want to tell you something straight up, and I'll be done. Jesus is no one to fear. Don't be afraid of getting saved. Don't be afraid of surrendering to him. Let Jesus have his way with you. Look at this text as we close in your notes, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Would you say that with me, please? And such were some of you. You see, that's the power of the gospel. God says, "Hey, I want you to know, people whose lifestyle, the way that they live, their entire life, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, let's not joke around, they're not going to be in heaven. But here's the good news, such were some of you." And Jesus says, "I don't care where you've been or what you've done, if you'll come to my cross, and if you'll know that my blood was shed for your sin, and if you'll believe on me," the Bible says there in verse 11, "you were washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, thank God for the blood of the Lamb that was shed for your sin, and you can be sanctified, cleansed, purified, forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I mean, when you go out this week and you see someone that's not friendly or someone that's down and out, just pause and say, "But for the grace of God, that could be me right there." And if you're here this morning and you've never experienced the grace of God, listen up. If you died today, you do not know that you would go to heaven. You have no peace in your heart that God is in your life. Before you leave this room today, I want to urge you to trust Jesus Christ today as your Savior. If he could change the life of a demon-possessed man who slept in the graveyard, he can change your life today. And sir, with your drugs and your immorality and your wickedness, may I urge you today, turn to Jesus Christ and be saved.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. Each devotion includes a scripture passage and provides an encouraging truth regarding your walk with the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.